official, guys. I'm back. Welcome to the Championship Browns, episode 12. My first episode in a little bit over a year. For those who haven't listened before, this is an all-combat sports podcast. Talking about boxing, talking about MMA, talking about Bellator, talking about the UFC, so on and so forth. It's been a while since I've done this last. And I could tell you, quite frankly, I'm a little bit rusty. I have notes in front of me just to save me. Throughout the recording of this episode, you might hear a lot of ums, you might hear a lot of heavy breathing, you might hear a lot of things that you normally haven't heard in the past episodes, but since this is my first recording in a little bit over a year, just need you guys, just quite frankly, just cut me a little bit of slack, for me to get going, find my rhythm, get in the pocket, and deliver fight news the only way I personally can. And this long hiatus has been tough on me mentally. I just want to start off by saying this. The reason for me not being able to do the championship rounds a little bit over a year ago, some things happened in my personal life, which took a turn for the worse. Been trying to regroup within the last year or so, physically and mentally. Trying to get in the right mindset, trying to get my mind right to eventually do this again. I was thinking about certain moments within the last year, boxing events, MMA events, where I thought I was going to come back. I just wanted to bring this back at the best time possible. I didn't think that any of those times were good enough for me to bring this podcast back and deliver it the best way that I can. It needed to be a solid year for me to wait to deliver something of this magnitude. Might not be a big deal to you or to others, but I do know that I have listeners, and it's a big deal to me. There are people who've been wanting me to bring this back for quite some time. Really close friends, family members of mine who wanted to bring this back, who have listened, who thought that the content I had to bring out was up to par. And that's why I'm here. I wanted to reformat the podcast so bad when I wanted to bring it back after the things that I've taken, after the things that have happened to me last fall. Unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to discuss those things at this moment in time, but when the time is right, I'll be able to explain the exact details on why that hiatus took place, but currently I'm not able to do so. The reason being for me being back is because this is something that I love to do. This is something that I'm passionate about. I don't seek any monetary gain from this. This is just for me to relieve stress, for me to get my opinions out instead of typing it on a keyboard or on a phone, relaying news via Twitter or Instagram. This is a whole different medium. This is me with my full capabilities, me speaking to you in a medium that, quite frankly, a lot of people try, but some fail, or some are just really, really good but decide to not pursue, you know, their hobby of podcasting. And 11 episodes deep for me to just stop abruptly, that's just something I wasn't happy about. I wanted to bring it back. I wanted to reformat it to maybe bring in a little bit of pro wrestling insight into the podcast so I could talk about MMA, boxing, pro wrestling. That didn't come to fruition. I wanted to reformat the podcast and talk about sports in general, football, basketball, you name it, and mix it in with combat sports. That didn't come to fruition. And then I realized, I think I'm just overconvoluting things. I think I'm just overcomplicating things to the point where it's undoable. I just had to get back down to basics and talk about combat sports from the UFC to boxing to kickboxing, you name it. Combat sports is where this podcast belongs. I didn't want to overcomplicate anything. To those who've been listening to me from the start, I thank you. For those who urged for me to get back to doing this again, I thank you. Can't really express my gratitude to you guys. This is the only way I know that I can, was to give you this once again. And I want to promise to you that I'm not going anywhere, but things do come up. I'm going to try to pump up as much content as I can, break down as many fights as I can, predict as many fights as you can to all you guys. This is why I'm here. The Championship Rounds, episode 12. Let's get right into it. So, there was a big fight on Saturday night for the UFC lightweight title between Khabib Nurmagomedov and notorious Conor McGregor, UFC 229. And I'm going to break down that fight. I'm going to start from the buildup, briefly touch on the buildup, critique the fight, what went wrong for both guys, what went right for both guys, and the big brawl that happened right after the fight. And I'm going to spill into potential ramifications, whatever sanctions that could take place with everything that unfolded on Saturday night. So let's get right to it. The buildup to UFC 29 all started with Conor McGregor. With Conor McGregor throwing a dolly at Khabib Nurmagomedov's bus. Inside that bus was Khabib himself, his camp, Michael Chiesa, Rose Namajunas, and other people that I can't name off the top of my head. That weekend of that event, of the UFC event where that incident took place, Michael Chiesa actually had to pull out of the fight. He was cut by some glass, by the dolly that was thrown. Some glass ricocheted, hit him in the face, almost caused him to be blind. And he had to pull out of the fight for safety concerns. Rose Namajunas apparently can't even step out of her house, let alone even contemplating about thinking about fighting. Apparently, she's so traumatized by the events that unfolded with the dolly throw that we don't even know where her current mindset is at. This infuriated Khabib to the point where he wanted to take this fight and put everything he had, his heart and soul, his frustrations, his anger, on beating Conor McGregor and defending his lightweight belt. So if we were to recap the last 2 years, a lot's kind of taken place at the 155-pound division. The reason why we have Khabib Nurmagomedov as champion was a long road prior. Conor McGregor beats Eddie Alvarez 2 years ago at Madison Square Garden to be a two-division champion at 145 pounds at featherweight and 155 pounds at lightweight. Conor decides to venture into the world of boxing and fight Floyd Mayweather in a 12-round boxing match in a very, very lucrative deal that aired on Showtime pay-per-view. Gets knocked out by Floyd Mayweather. While this is all taking place, the title is vacant. Or it's still held by Conor. I don't know. Dana White and the UFC likes to overcomplicate things in regards to the title picture. Kevin Lee is matched up with Tony Ferguson to see who the interim UFC lightweight champion would be. Tony Ferguson comes out on top. Finally, we get to see Khabib Nurmagomedov fight Tony Ferguson to see who the real deal is at 155 pounds. We thought we were going to see it. We had to reschedule the last fight. Last fight didn't take place last minute because Khabib Nurmagomedov wasn't able to make weight. Apparently almost died from trying to cut so much weight in such a short period of time he had to pull out. That was last March, in March 2017. Unfortunately, that fight didn't take place. We're going to see it this time around? No. It was just too good to be true. Tony Ferguson has to pull out of the fight. Rumor has it, apparently this is what really happened. I'm not sure if this is rumor or if this is the actual factual incident that took place. Tony was doing some promotional work. It was dark. He was wearing his sunglasses, his trademark Tony Ferguson sunglasses. Trips over a cord, tears his ACL, has to pull out of the fight against Khabib. Quite unfortunate. So we have Khabib Nurmagomedov fighting Al-Ai Quinta. Al-Ai Quinta actually didn't need to... If he beat Khabib, he wasn't eligible to win the belt. If Khabib beat Al, he would be the brand new UFC lightweight champion. So at this point, there is no champion. There is no undisputed champion. There is no interim champion. Tony doesn't have the belt due to the fact that he tore his ACL. Conor is nowhere to be seen. Khabib beats Al-Ai Quinta and is able to capture the UFC lightweight championship in a very awkward fight that he took on short notice. Since Tony had to pull out, he had to fight Al-Ai Quinta in his place, in Tony's place, in an awkward matchup that Khabib took on short notice where he didn't look like the real Khabib. I don't really put too much stock into that fight. It's just an awkward fight, a bad matchup. Ally Aquinta's a tough guy, so I'm not surprised that Khabib had to go the distance with him. Really, really not surprised about that. But this is all in setup from that point all the way up to Saturday night, which I could tell you was one for the ages as far as the atmosphere, just soaking in that moment, watching that fight on pay-per-view. It's just, there's no words to describe it. If I were to go and predict that fight that took place back when Eddie Alvarez lost the belt to Conor, I predicted that Conor would lose to Khabib 9 out of 10 times. I just think that Khabib is just way too good of a grappler. He's able to impose his will like no other fighter in the UFC can. And he's going to come at you on the feet, on the ground, in any way, shape, or form. I thought he would beat Conor 9 times out of 10. There's levels to this grappling game. I'm not saying Conor's a slouch on the ground. He can do some things off his back that could surprise people. He's got good coaches. He's got good training partners. He's got a good circle around him as far as guys that could push him to the limit. Guys that know what they're doing on the feet, on the ground, that could show Conor what to do at any given notice. But at this point, you're facing a different animal in Khabib Nurmagomedov. And the fight unfolded as I originally predicted 2 years ago. As the fight drew closer, I kind of had Conor winning the fight. I kind of had him winning by knockout. I just thought that Khabib would be really, really foolish and would stand up with Conor for at least one or two rounds, and he would have gotten clocked with the left hand. That's just how I saw it. I just thought that he really wanted to show Conor what he could do on the ground and wouldn't even bother taking him down or shooting for a single or double, and he would stand up with him, and Conor would come out on top. The only way Khabib needed to win this fight, the only way he could have won that fight, was by pressing him against the fence, securing a single or double leg, bring him to the ground, and having some ground and pound action, and eventually coming out on top, which is pretty much what took place. As the fight started, Conor did a great job defending Khabib's takedowns. It looked almost BJ Penn-esque in the way that Conor defended those takedowns. Khabib couldn't get him down. He couldn't get him down at all until he pressed him up against the fence and got him down to the ground. And Conor was doing a great job staying upright. He had his back pressed up against the fence. He was using his hips to stay upright. His legs were in position to not be flattened out by Khabib to prevent any sort of ground and pound or any chance of ground and pound. He looked great. Well, he didn't look great, but he looked good enough to withstand any onslaught. Khabib was imposing as well as I thought he would. I was a little bit nervous that he was going to stay on his feet with Conor, stay in the pocket and throw, which is a fight that he would lose. This happened for the first two rounds of the fight. The second round, it looked pretty bad. It looked like Conor was going to get finished and he was saved by the bell. Khabib had his number in the second round. By the time the third round came along, we saw the old Conor. We were able to see him exchange, able to see him land some good punches, some good left hands, and it got to the point where we thought that he could possibly finish this. He clocked him with one punch, with one combination that we thought it was gonna be a wrap for Khabib. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. In the second round, Khabib clocked Conor with a right hand, a huge overhand right that sent him dazed, and we thought he was gonna finish Conor that round. Conor was able to withstand the pressure and maintain composure and keep in the fight. That was probably the hardest punch I've ever seen Conor been hit with, aside from being hit by Floyd Mayweather. In the octagon, I believe that Khabib Nurmagomedov landing that right hand was the hardest punch Conor has ever taken inside the octagon. As soon as the fight went on, the fourth round, he wore down Conor some more, took his back, and was able to secure a neck crank, make Conor tap. And that was a wrap. I'm not sure if Conor came in with the right game plan or if he had a bad camp or a good camp. I believe he had a great camp. I believe he came in as prepared as he should have been. It's just the better man won that night. The better man won. And I could reiterate to you over and over and over again that there's levels to this grappling game, but there is. Conor didn't stand a chance being taken down by Khabib and having that brute strength and all of that pressure on top of you. It's just, you can't do it. You know, you've seen guys crumble to Khabib Nurmagomedov. Rafael Dos Anjos, you saw Michael Johnson, you know, give in. You saw Edson Barboza give in to that overwhelming pressure. He's just a different fighter. It's a different breed. And this sets up a fight against Tony Ferguson to see who the real deal is at 155 pounds. We could finally see it. After 2 years, two full years of waiting, we could finally see that fight now. But unfortunately, we do have to address what took place after the fight. Huge brawl erupted. I'm not sure if you guys put too much stock into this, because quite frankly, I don't. Honestly, I don't. I don't really care about any of the post-fight stuff that took place. All I care about is who won, who lost, and what's next. What further ramifications involving the UFC lightweight belt. You guys know that a brawl took place as soon as Khabib Nurmagomedov tapped out Conor McGregor. He hopped the fence, went straight for one of Conor's grappling coaches, Dylan Danis, who currently fights at Bellator. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt Dylan Danis, may I add. Goes straight for him, and then Conor by himself in the octagon is helpless at this point because he gets sucker punched by one of Khabib's guys, completely defenseless. And it's separated by security. It's a huge mess. We have no idea what to make of this. 4 days later, I don't even know what to make of this. I don't even know where to begin. I don't care. I already knew the timeline was going to be on fire once this incident took place. And when I scrolled the timeline, Twitter and Instagram, it was just an overwhelming amount of negativity and ignorance. People who didn't even watch the fight or didn't even watch the events that unfolded had their two cents to put in and had their own opinions on what had happened. Which, it just caused a shitstorm. That's all that happened. And it's quite unfortunate. I mean, I guess Conor had what was coming to him. He got what was coming to him when he threw that dolly. But I'm not condoning both guys' actions. I think both guys are wrong. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be self-righteous and, you know, explain the morals and the morality of what MMA fighters should have or should do or what actions they should take. That's not my job, because we're in the fight game. There's no time for morals. Yeah, you could be a good sport. You could be a great sport, shake the guy's hand, fist bump the other guy inside the octagon. But at the end of the day, these guys are here to hurt each other. And they're there to be the best that they can be. And I'm not condoning any of their actions whatsoever. It's just unfortunate that it had to end that way. And we have to leave it in the hands of a corrupt athletic commission in Nevada. The Nevada State Athletic Commission is absolutely disgusting in the business that they take place in, as far as the rulings that they make, the sanctions that they bring down, whatever ramifications that they put on fighters. It's just dirty, dirty stuff. Suspending guys for God knows how long, fining guys for obscene amounts. It's just ridiculous. And they've had a history of doing it, especially recently. And to leave it in their hands, it's just really, really unfortunate. Do we know if Khabib is getting stripped of the lightweight belt? Dana actually came out today and said that he's not going to strip him, which I'm pretty happy about. I think he should keep the belt. He beat the guy. To be the guy, you got to beat the guy. As far as Conor's concerned, Conor can have a big money fight somewhere down the line. If he stays at 155, sure. If he goes down to 145, even if he can make 145, we don't know, which I highly doubt. He has fights at 145. He could rematch Max Holloway, take the belt from him, become the 145 king once again, maybe fight Brian Ortega, get back to fighting Khabib, or going up to 170 and fighting there. Who absolutely knows? We just know that there's always going to be a fight for Conor, and there's always going to be a way to make money. There's always going to be a big money fight lurking around the corner. That's just what Conor brings to the table. And he's a star, and it's not hard to see that. Do I think that he can potentially come back stronger, better, and beat Khabib for the 155 belt? You bet your ass I think he can. Do I think it's going to be easy? Do I think it's going to be an easy camp? No, they're probably going to... I think Coach Kavanaugh is going to put him through the ringer. You know, obviously Conor has things to work on. There's holes in his game as far as grappling is concerned. You know, but there are some things that Conor displayed that really impressed me. Because Khabib had trouble taking him down initially. Once he got him down, yeah, it was kind of game over. But it's quite surprising to see that balance and from Conor looking like BJ Penn in his prime defending takedowns left and right. And you can't deny that. You can't take that away from Conor. You can't take any of Conor's accomplishments away. We like to give Conor a lot of flack. I don't. I'm a big Conor fan. I know a lot of guys do. And a lot of girls love him, of course. But a lot of guys love to hate on him. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe he's just too brash for people. Maybe it's because he's brash and he's Irish. Maybe it's because he talks a big game. But he has the right to talk a big game. I don't think Conor McGregor's ever taken a warm-up fight in his life. I don't think he's ever taken the easy road. He's always had difficult fights. That's why he makes the most money in that organization. And if we were to evaluate Conor's greatness, this is his first MMA fight. His first fight in the octagon in 2 years against the top dog in that division. It's a title fight. Takes a two-year hiatus from the octagon, fights Floyd Mayweather, unfortunately gets knocked out, didn't go his way, and he comes back, and yeah, he gets starched. But he didn't take any warm-up fights. If we were to look at Conor's fights from when he first blew up, in my opinion, he blew up first when he fought Max Holloway and decisioned him. Then we had Dennis Seaver along the way, Dustin Poirier, Chad Mendes, Jose Aldo. Let's start off with Chad Mendes. If I'm not trying to do a Conor McGregor retrospective here, but let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? Beats Chad Mendes on short notice. Becomes the interim featherweight champion. He was supposed to fight Jose Aldo. Unfortunately, Jose Aldo had to pull out with an injury. Next fight. Starches Jose Aldo in 8 seconds. Knocks him out flat. He's the undisputed featherweight champion. Knocks out arguably the greatest featherweight of all time in 8 seconds. Supposed to fight Rafael Dos Anjos for the 155-pound belt. An opportunity to become a two-division champion. Unfortunately, Rafael Dos Anjos pulls out last minute. Conor, the man that he is, prepares for this fight at 155 pounds. He expects to fight a fighter at 155 pounds. Who does he fight? He fights one of the toughest guys the UFC has to offer in Nate Diaz. And he's not fighting 155 pounds. On short notice, he takes the fight, and he's fighting Nate Diaz at 170 pounds. He's fighting him at welterweight. Unbelievable. He loses that fight. He gets submitted by a rear naked choke by a Caesar Gracie black belt in Nate Diaz. Comes back even stronger. Decisions Nate Diaz in a classic war. Then about a month or two later, knocks out Eddie Alvarez at Madison Square Garden to become a two-division champion. Has a belt at featherweight, has a belt at lightweight. You can't take the man's accomplishments away. He went to go shoot a shot in the boxing world in a lucrative fight against, quite frankly, the greatest boxer of our generation. Comes up short. Some can argue that Floyd carried him throughout the first 6 rounds of the fight, or you can say that was just genuine talent and skill on Conor McGregor's part. You could say what you want, but you can't slander the man. What happens after this? Tony fights Khabib finally. Conor, does he finally take a warm-up fight? We don't know. We do know that he still has a potential to draw money. I still think he has a potential to draw money than Khabib versus Tony. They could put him on the same card. They could put main event Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov for the UFC lightweight belt and then put Conor in the co-main. and they could draw money that way. Whatever, however Sean Shelby, however Dana White wants to do it. This is going to take place next year. So we'll see how it goes. Connor takes a warm-up fight. Maybe he fights Pettis. Pettis had a great showing against Tony Ferguson. Almost finished Tony Ferguson in that fight. Anthony Pettis versus Conor McGregor would be a great fight. Wouldn't really consider that a warm-up fight, but hey, it's something. The guy can still draw money, guys. Don't forget about that. Enough of that fight. Earlier today, Dana White announced it's a done deal. Next month at Madison Square Garden, less than a month's time, we're going to see heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier defend the heavyweight title against the Black Beast Derek Lewis, who was victorious against Alexander Volkov on Saturday night. Volkov was beating Lewis for all three rounds until the last 15 seconds. And Derek Lewis knocks Alexander Volkov into outer space. And now he has a title shot. Deservingly so. Derek Lewis has had some fights. He's had some fights at heavyweight. He absolutely deserves his title shot. Do I believe he deserves it over Stipe Miocic? I think Stipe kind of deserves his title rematch. Only time will tell when that comes along. But at first, he has to play spectator, and he has to see Derek Lewis fight Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight belt at Madison Square Garden. And one of the big Madison Square Garden cards. I mean, they were kind of trying to... The UFC was struggling to put that card together. They're trying to do something with Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz. Just heard that Dustin Poirier actually had to pull out of that fight against Nate Diaz. So we don't know who Nate Diaz is going to fight, if he's going to fight at all. Do we find a replacement for Dustin Poirier? We still have to see that. We still have to see any breaking news on that. So far, Nate Diaz is without a fight for the Madison Square Garden card. But we do have a main event in Daniel Cormier versus Derek Lewis for the heavyweight championship of the world. Unbelievable. The fight world's crazy, guys. From last Saturday forward, we don't know what the rest of 2018 has in store for us. We just know that it's just absolute madness. And I'm glad that Saturday's over with. We could put that incident to bed, but I know a lot of you are still going to talk about it. A lot of you still formulate your own opinions on what happened without even watching or ordering the pay-per-view. You guys didn't even go on Reddit, watch a live stream, and see what happened in the fight. A lot of you guys are just spewing nonsense on Twitter without even watching 1 second of one round from the events on last Saturday. That's also a motivation for why I came back. I wanted to spread some knowledge. That's mainly it. But that does it for episode 12. Hopefully, in the near future, I could get some guests again. Do know some people want to go ahead and hop on and talk boxing and MMA with me. And I'm really looking forward to having those guys back. But for now, this is episode 12, my first episode in a little bit over a year. And I'm excited to come back. I'm back for good, guys. Hope I'm not going anywhere. Hope to deliver you guys more coverage, more predictions, more fight analysis in the future. But for right now, that's all I got to give you guys. You guys have a good night.